Wow. Worship team, thank you for leading us. So good. I was thinking there, it's just like being with, for me, I've missed you guys. Being gone for a couple weeks has been, we had fun while we were away, but we've missed you, and being here together this morning, there's not any place I would rather be, and to be around you worshiping, it just reminded me of just special family times that you don't want to end, and so we get to spend eternity doing this, but it's really important that we make use of our time when we're together. So welcome this morning. We have a few announcements we're going to do, and then we're going to take some time this morning to update our conversation about sexuality and to get into the Word, look at a couple new things, but really to set ourselves up for where we're going to go together as we've been building and having the conversations about sexuality and specifically about God's design for sexuality. So just a few announcements this morning. Next week, we have family dinner. Jesse is going to be the point person for that. But please make sure, do whatever you can to be meaningful in your thought about this next week. So we'd love, I would love it if you felt like, wow, I'm looking forward to being able to come and spend time together. So I know sometimes when things feel last minute or last second, it's hard to feel that way. So if you need to make a note, a reminder, what you want to bring, what you can bring and contribute. But we will have just family dinner time together next week, share communion together, probably talk a little bit about communion next week and why it's so important and why we do it the way we do it right now as we are continuing to grow together. So if you have any questions about next week, you can see Jesse, but just after church next Sunday, we'll have family dinner. Remember, if you have announcements that you think everybody needs to hear, get those to Dan, okay? I want to say thank you again. It just is really encouraging. Our community is really growing up in the areas of people contributing. And there's something about belonging. You can belong without ever giving an offering. But there's something about as we mature in responsibility, we understand, hey, there's something we're contributing to. And so I know that I just have been super encouraged by people's willingness just to contribute and say, hey, I belong here. This is a part of how I express commitment is through giving. So thank you guys for that. If you, I had somebody last week say, hey, I still don't understand this thing. So if you have questions about how to use the Cash App, let me know. I think most of you are old pros by now. And then today, as we get into our conversation about sexuality, again, there'll be times when I ask questions. But for the most part, if you just have a thought pop into your head, text Gabe or go tap Gabe on the shoulder and say, hey, I have a question. Yeah, Gabe was waving over there. I was like, Gabe, you have a question? No, that was just real. He's waving over there. Aw. She does have more hair. Look at her, she's growing up. Ugh. She's amazing. Just go look at her for a while. Just awesome. Yeah. All right, your simple churches this week. Here is your reading stuff. We're going to read Psalm 51. This will make more sense as we get into today's conversation. The question this week, what does it look like to live reconciled to God in terms of sexuality and wholeness? What does it look like to live reconciled to God in terms of sexuality and wholeness? And again, we'll get there later today, so we won't spend much time on that now. Derek, will you come and share briefly about, ask Derek to share a little bit about what happened last weekend. I really wanted to say thank you for those of you who gave and helped send people. We had, I think there was about 13 or 14 of us down there last weekend. And Derek's going to share a little bit about what happened and why it was important.
So welcome, Derek Kelly.
So just a short kind of recap, and then I'll get into some. So Friday night, Bill Vanderbush, he's come here. A lot of you have heard him speak. He talked a lot about the value of what God is doing in the church currently in terms of a new reformation. God is really building up the body to really belong and connect and live out of joy and peace and righteousness. And then Saturday night, Lacey Sturm and Josh Sturm really shared about just what they've been through and how they've really carried kind of the Ark of the Covenant wherever they've been, and really the joy and the peace and the freedom that has come through that and the things that they've worked through. And then Sunday was really just a time of us all just sharing what God did throughout the week and really just bringing connection into our hearts. So the biggest thing I just wanted to share with you guys is God is really knitting together family. And we've talked about it. And just, you know, I've seen that locally amongst us. Like, wow, we're really being knit together in love's fabric. Wow, this is really happening. But to go down there and just see the way they honored us, the way they just loved us. I mean, a lot of us had like, I had a personal assistant that was supposed to like follow me around and see if Laura or I needed anything. It was that honoring of like, wow, there's someone who's like, if I need somebody to carry something, they're going to be there. And just Sunday was just so great as, you know, there was times of prayer and worship and just, you know, different people were so vulnerable about what God was doing in their hearts. We got to pray and we got to intercede for one another. And we just saw relationships start to happen that have been built over 5, 6, 7 years and really recognize that, man, family is not just the people in this room or the people that are part of AOX, but God is really knitting together a family that is just the body of Christ. So I think that for me was just such a huge takeaway. So,
and if you left out, like, Derek had his little session. Why don't you tell them what your session was about? He didn't talk about his session, so.
So I really talked about the value of having a clear sound. So scripture talks about, if you look at Genesis 1, it talks about the value of God brought order into chaos. He brought the void into light. There's so much scripture that talks about what does it look like to have a clear sound. I mean, Psalm 115, why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does what he pleases. And there's just so much scripture that talks about we need to know what we believe and we need to speak it out clearly so that the nations aren't wondering, okay, where is their God? But it's like, our God is in heaven. He does what he pleases. And if we can align with that, we actually see the kingdom have forward momentum. So I just gave people some really practical tips of how do we say we believe these things, but how do we really live them out? How do we have a clear sound so that people don't live in confusion but live in darkness, but really live with freedom and passion in their hearts? And so people just were like, this is ridiculous. I've never heard this before. Like, I didn't know I had the freedom to like value my heart and value what God has put inside of me. And I didn't know I could dig for like who I am. I didn't know passions in my heart mattered. And we just talked a lot about creativity and clearness and just like what God has placed inside of you and how the world needs to hear it and needs to know. And that way you can leave a unique mark that God's put inside of you. And that, like we talked about 1 Timothy 2:2 and like the things that we're all growing in, passing them on to others. So it's just very clear about like clarity and discipleship and those types of things, but really calling us to like stand up as a generation, no matter what age we are, and to really pass that on to others as we live our lives.
You guys have been real proud of Derek. I was. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it. He popped down from the nursery to give that announcement, so we appreciate that. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at a verse here, and then we'll jump into some review. Hey, when I stick this under my arm, it's kind of like a wireless microphone. That's cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You guys okay? Is everybody good? All right, let's all pray. Holy Spirit, please help us. God, help me. I pray that you'd help us to have focus to it. I pray that you'd help it to communicate what you need to communicate. Lord, we want to do more than walk through a series of teachings. God, we want to go on a journey with you. We want our hearts to be fully alive to the things that are in your heart. And God, we thank you for the gift of sexuality. God, we thank you that you've given us identity. God, we thank you that you have something clear to say about how you created us as male and female. And God, we pray today that your order and that your life would hit our hearts in a way that causes us to be fully alive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Can anybody give me an idea briefly about what is happening in this letter to the 2 Corinthians? Has anybody studied 2 Corinthians enough to know what's happening in this section of the letter? I know that's a quick thing, but just think into your memories and What is it that's happening here in this aspect of this epistle? Yeah, Dan. Okay. That's good. So how many of you have thoughts about what the Church of Corinth might have been based on the letters that are written to it? Have some thoughts? I just love the fact that here's this church that seems to have some issues in it, and Paul takes so much time. More is written to this church than any other church in the New Testament. And so in the midst of all their struggles, in the midst of all the things they didn't have figured out, Paul didn't write them off, but he wrote instruction to them, and he built them up, and he took time to correct them, and he took time to encourage them. And then here in this passage, we just see this cascading message in these first several chapters of this letter. And what I love about this passage that we're going to look at today is it builds on what's happening in chapter 3 and chapter 4. And one of my favorite places in those chapters where it talks about the light of the gospel of Jesus, the light of Jesus. And I'm just really reminded as I've been, you know, gone a couple weeks and I had time to step away and kind of look at what it is we're doing. I was telling Gabe this morning, you know, I've never done anything like we're doing now. And there's this tension in my heart of, man, I would love to be able to say, hey, guys, we're going to talk about this for 6 weeks and we'll be done. And then we'll talk about something else for 4 weeks and we'll be done. But I'm just not, we're not going to get to heaven and get a reward for efficiency. I don't believe that. I believe that it's more important even than that we get into the word about this is the word gets in us. And I'm really just saying to you, I'm not trying to drag this out. It's not my heart that we take a long time on this. It is my heart that we allow the living word of God to transform our lives. And so as we look at this morning and as we get into the word this morning, I just ask you, again, don't sit back and listen. Lean forward, lean in, be awake, and like lean into what is it that God is saying to us? What is it that he's talking about with us? Look at the very end of chapter 3. Verse 17, that says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the spirit of the Lord. What image are we being transformed into? God's? Is there anything more specific? What are we being transformed into? What are we being made like? Christ. The goal of our journey is not just to get the right answers, but to become more like Jesus. Are you with me in that? Yeah, right? So I just don't want to follow Jesus from afar away. Me and Mike, I just asked Mike, are you still following Jesus? He said, yeah. And I was like, me too. We're going to do it together. But I don't want to follow Jesus from far away. I want to follow Jesus close. So you may say, man, we sang for a while this morning. We sang the same line for like 5 minutes. What good does that do? Listen, I'll tell you what good it does me. I mean, saying the words over and over again it's not like God like listens once you said the same line 20 times. He doesn't listen before that, right? No. That would be vain repetition if we're just saying the same things over and over again without there being any meaning for it. My soul pants for God and God alone. How many of you want that to be the truth of your life? How many of you recognize there's still other things that come and make themselves an option? Man, sometimes I have to sing that about 10 times before I even start remembering, oh yeah, there are other things that are after my affection. There are other things that are after my attention. My soul pants for God and God alone. Sometimes I'm worshiping my way into that truth. Does that make sense? I'm worshiping like yesterday we were worshiping as a family on our way back and the song Baptize My Heart with your fire, your desire. Yeah, God, come and baptize my heart. God, come and submerge my heart. Come and immerse my heart in your love where all I'm aware of. When Cody was speaking this morning and Cody was saying this morning, like it's not God first and everything else second. It's just God, right? How many of you just would admit that this week you had a time where there was other things on the radar besides his presence? And so it's not that we're just like, well, I said that one time and that's it. It's a daily, hourly, moment by moment choosing of Jesus, right? Are you guys with me? Yeah? Okay. So there's a reason why we take time to look at his face. There's a reason why right now we could stop and turn our affection, our attention to him and look at his face. Why when we look at the word of God, we shouldn't just be reading for information. We should be looking for Jesus to be revealed in the word, right? We're not just looking for the correct facts. We are looking for him. Yes? God, your word is alive. Come and change me. Come and let's hug the sharp sword and say, God, come and do what you want to do in my heart. As we go down here, as we get into chapter 5, I want us to look over at verse number 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Can I get someone to help me? What does the word reconcile mean? To bring back together. To bring back together to what? What did we say? Wholeness. Do you believe that's in there? Is that what it's saying in here? What did we have in ourselves? What did our sin earn us? Death? Separation? And in Christ, what happened? He made us alive together with him, and we have been reconciled to what? To right relationship with God. Will you look and see how the ministry of reconciliation is layered up on top of verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Guys, I want to start this morning, and we're gonna make some time reviewing, but we want to talk about brokenness. We're going to introduce brokenness into our conversation because primarily what we've done in the 4 weeks we talked about sexuality is really try to drill down in what is God's plan. We don't want to start with brokenness, right? We don't want to start with a place where we're just trying to avoid screwing up. We talked about that a lot. But today we want to say, what do we do with brokenness, right? And we're going to start with here. And say this, at the very, very beginning, there's good news. For everyone who's in Christ, you are a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, all has become. I would submit to you that many of us have been trying to reconcile ourselves to a better version of brokenness instead of being made new in Christ. So would you just ask, as we spend some time reviewing this morning, would you ask God to help you and help each other really get to a place where we're believing what God has to say, right? Are we together? Yeah? Okay, come on, let's go. So we've talked about in our overall True North conversation, embracing the truth of what God has to say about identity. Typically, I've taught that from a place of father heart. We really, this time, and this was months ago, if you need to go back and listen to this, go back and listen to some of this podcast, we talked about our union with Christ and how significant the union is. Read the book of Galatians, read Romans, read Ephesians. Over 100 times the phrase in him is found in the New Testament. And that word, mostly when that word is used, or that phrase is used in him, it speaks to this place of being joined together. That we are with him in a way that would be very similar. That Greek word would be very similar to the word that the man and wife were joined together. The two became one. In a very similar way, that's what that word is talking about. It's a marriage word in the Greek, that we are with him, in him, we are one, okay? So that's the truth of our identity. And then we took time to celebrate God's design for his body by going through Ephesians. So we're just going to read these three statements here. God's designed sexuality to be enjoyed. God designed sexuality to be enjoyed. We said inside of God's design, we can see his intention. Okay? Now, this is very important. I know you say, hey, we talked about this already. I know I'm trying to bring us back to a place where this stuff comes to the surface again. This is not in the slides. So listen, this is important. God's intention is here, right? In our place of brokenness, he met us in a place of redemption. Does that make sense? His intention here, did God ever intend for you to be broken? That was not his, it was not his created purpose. Is that agreed? But he meets us in redemption. He meets us while we're still sinners. But it's very important that we position our hearts so we're not just reconciled to redemption, but we're redeemed back. We're restored back into a place of newness, right? Yeah, is that what the word just said that we read, right? If any man is in Christ, he is a slightly better version of himself without Christ. Is that what it says? No. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We pass from death to life. Paul says this, we have been conveyed. When I think about the word convey, the first place I ever heard the word convey was when I was a little kid and we went to the grocery store and you put the stuff up on the conveyor belt and you put it up here and then the waitress or the cashier pressed the button and it moved. That's what the word convey. It's being transported. You were transported from the kingdom of darkness into a different kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what the gospel did. It didn't just meet you in your sin. It didn't just meet me in my sin and leave me there and put a sticker on me and says, well, when he dies, things will get better. That's not the gospel of Jesus. He says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, right? You got that? So in the midst of his design, we get to see his intention. Did God design sex to be enjoyed? How many of you are happy about that? Raise your hand. All of you are allowed to be happy about that. Just so you know, let's ask that again. How many of you are glad that God created sex to be enjoyed? Still, some of you are just not sure. I just encourage you to pray about that, okay? But yet, as much as he designed it to be enjoyed, that wasn't the core purpose of sexuality. God designed sex to produce life, but even procreation was not the core purpose of sexuality. The heart of God's designs for sexuality is growing connection inside of covenant. Growing connection inside the covenant of marriage between a man and his wife. Let's just read this verse again. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined, adhered, become one with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This was God's intention. This was his intention from the very beginning that two would become one. Where did Eve come from? Right? So he made man in his image, and he said, there's something about me that's going to be expressed through a male and through a female. And so he pulls Eve out of Adam and then says, now be one again. He's really good at creativity. God is really, but listen, it's really important that you understand there's something about the image of God that gets expressed in the union of both parts of his image, right? Yes? Okay. I really have missed you guys. But we said even sexuality is not really about us. And for some of us, we admitted several weeks ago we had a repentance time. This is one of the harder things we've talked about. Even our sexuality is not for us. It's ultimately for him. It's for his glory. Why? That his image gets put on display. Right? So we took this scripture we've been going over for the last year and a half or so, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. There's something about our marriages. There's something about our family. There's something about our life as a single man or a single woman that was meant to put him on display, meant to put his glory on display. And so even in our sexuality, we want our sexuality not just to be a slightly better version of the world. We want to bring our views on sexuality completely into his intention, right? Is that what we're saying together? We want our view of sexuality to be in the midst of what you intend, not just where you'll meet us in redemption. Because God will meet us. I mean, do you guys remember the stories? We were talking about this on the way back. There's stories in the Bible about people coming to Jesus and are people putting their, actually their Old Testament stories, putting their trust in God. Like, what do you do if you're a man who's married to 10 women? Was that God's intention for someone to marry 10 women? Is there anybody who believes that? No, I think it's pretty clear. A man and his wife, and the two shall become one. It doesn't say the 11 shall become 10. But did God meet people in the midst of their polygamy? Yeah, he met them there, but we don't want to make that the standard. The fact that God showed up there, we don't want to make that the standard for where we bring our lives. Does that make sense? God is meeting people who are walking. I mean, God met me in the midst of immense brokenness, but he didn't meet me to leave me there. Are we tracking right? Right? So there's something about coming into alignment with him. It's not walking in shame. It's not walking in any place of a shadow. I get to walk in his light. Right? Okay? All right, we're going to keep moving. So we talked about sexuality. The key is to grow in godly desire, and we took time to read Song of Songs. Please don't leave Song of Songs. Some of you, like, it's such a good awakening for a heart to understand that God created desire as a good thing. But for many of us, we were trained that sexual desire is something that's bad until we get married. No, God created us. It's good. It just needs to be brought into alignment with his design. So if sex is primarily for my recreation, then stewarding that according to that purpose is way different than stewarding it according to the purpose of connecting inside of covenant, right? You guys are scaring me this morning. Are you guys okay? Yeah? I know, Bear, I got you, bro. You are with me, man. Bear is on board. Right, so listen, there's something about, if you find yourself in a place where there's a struggle for how do I maintain a godly perspective on desire, I encourage you, read Song of Songs. Understand there's the ability for us to walk in a place of healthy desire that's not the same thing as lust. So even whether I've talked to married couples, this reading Song of Songs is changing their life. Because even inside of marriage, they didn't understand the goodness of fostering desire. Does that make sense? I'm just going to try to find a different thing to say because when I listen to podcasts, No. I'm just saying, I say, does that make sense too much? So I'm going to try to find something different. Yeah. And for single people, listen, we can very easily disconnect our sexuality from the cross and make it where we try to be shut down sexually until we get married. But I promise you, Adrian and I meet with so many people that have done that, and then they get ready to get married, and sex still feels dirty and shameful because we didn't recognize sex is actually a gift from God. It's a good thing. It just needs to be used for what he intended it for. It needs to be stewarded. I'm trying to review, and I'm trying to gauge whether we're on board together. Is there any questions on that? Ooh, pick me. Briefly, we got a lot to cover, okay? So if I understand, if I can keep my desire for the Lord and walk in purity, and remember what Paul said in the first verse we read, I will no longer regard people according to the flesh. That's not just talking about checking people out, by the way. But listen, if I will bring my desire for God and allow that to be the thing that determines my purity, blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Man. Do you realize that we've tried to repent for the way that God made us? There's a lot of times that, like, man, if, I remember as a single person, like, am I allowed to be attracted to that person? And we almost make it in a way that feels dirty, okay? Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time there, but here's the thing. If I can recognize that God says it's not good that man would be alone, he's given us this invitation into relationship, okay? I don't have to walk around. Let's say, Mike, you come here because I'm married. Mike Weber, come forth. There should not be a pressure on Mike that every place he goes, he's like, is that my wife over there? Have you ever, how many of, let's be real honest, how many of you ever experienced a season in your life where you felt kind of like that? Like, I wonder if that's my wife or I wonder if that's my husband. And just raise your hand. Yeah, a few of you are like, some of you did this, other ones raised your eyebrow instead of your hand. That was really cute. I appreciate that. Yeah, I wonder if that's, man, that is a hard way to build healthy relationships. You're shaking your head. Why is that a hard way to build relationships, Gabe? Oh, man. And again, guys, we're just going to catch this in like the review process. But in the church, I'm instructed to treat people differently than that. In the church, I'm instructed to treat older men a certain way. How am I supposed to treat older men? And how am I supposed to treat younger men? And how am I supposed to treat older women? And how am I supposed to treat younger women? With all purity. So if like every place Mike goes, he's like, boo, 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 boo.
The room is clear,
right? That's a lot of pressure. Boo, boo, you know, like, you know, what is it that's happening inside of us that keeps us from having the healthy relationship God intended us to have? Does that make sense? God designed you to have water. Listen, your need for water is not a sign of weakness. Your need for oxygen is not a deformity. And God designed you for relationship. Your need for love, your need to be known is not a weak thing. It's the way he designed you. But we enter into relationships so many times from a jacked up point of view. Does that make sense? And that makes it hard for us to have things that feel healthy. And we need to repent as we get ready to talk about sexual brokenness and go there. We need to allow, and I say repent, I don't mean just saying, sorry, God. I'm saying, God, come and reconcile our thoughts to your thoughts. Okay? Mike, do you want to do a radar sweep of the room? Okay, no, go sit down. In Song of Songs, Mike's never standing up with me again. In Song of Songs, we remember this place about desire. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Guys, sometimes we've turned that into worship songs. That's great. But this book is not primarily written about Jesus. This is primarily written about a love between a man and a woman. And so to understand there was this place of anticipation, it's a good thing, okay? We're gonna keep moving. We talked about connection and purity, and we talked about where we learned about sex from. What did you hear when people were saying about where they learned about sex from? What did you get from that? Did you think most people learn from good places or not so good places? Yeah. And the conversations I've had with our community and other people during this process, by far, it's been locker room talk and pornography and novels that have primarily been the people telling us what sexuality should look like. And they just don't have the power to impart God's heart, right? So God's word says that we'll die for lack of instruction and the greatness of our folly will be led astray. So we're just saying we're approaching this head on so we can get God's heart. We can understand his heart as a dad to lead us into good things and ask him to be our instructor. So we're asking him to father our hearts where we are away from you. And that's really important prayer. So as we head in, as we talked about, we're getting ready to just kind of catch up and move into the brokenness conversation. But who remembers this slide from that week a couple weeks ago, right? What did we say about this slide? Jerry-rigged, that's right. And what did we say jerry-rigged meant? Organized or constructed in a crude or improvised manner. And we just said that we were meant for something better than that, right? Now, if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to, but how many of you can just admit that because we've seen so much brokenness in the areas of purity and love and sexuality, it's easy to adopt our thinking that this is what we're stuck with, right? There was one more picture I'll show you. Yep. Evan, check that out. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's really not cool. It's like I feel like everybody's admiring that. Oh, that's awesome. That is so dangerous. You were just meant for something better than that. So Holy Spirit, help us this morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4. We've talked about purity. I love it whenever we have conversations and things come out. We talked about how purity, you know, can mean without spot, and that's actually a really good definition of that word, but there's something more. It also means the sheer essence or the singular form. And we just don't want to look at sexuality or look at purity, look at relationships just from the sense of, hey, man, this I don't want to screw up. We really want to bring our heart as, God, what is your intention here? Guys, I have lived a long time in my life just trying not to screw up. And that's just, I'm so thankful that God is continually to draw me out of that thinking. I don't believe that's a godly thought pattern at all, to avoid destruction. But to really say, God, I want to trust, like, what you say is right. What you say is trustworthy. So we want to put our sense there. Also, I found this week when I was reviewing this, what Derek talked about, a clear sound, is actually listed. If you look up the word pure, on dictionary.com, you will find the phrase, a clear sound. I thought that was really cool. You can check that out later. So finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I want to talk just for a few minutes about this, and then we're gonna look at a couple of scripture. We're gonna look at the scripture in 1 Thessalonians. What does it mean to meditate on these things? How many remember what we talked about, that word meditate? Does anybody recall what that meant? The word meditate, what word do you see up there in the Greek word? You see logic? You see that? Here's the definition. To reckon, count, compute, calculate, count over. What picture pops into your mind as you read those definitions? What kind of thoughts do you think, Dan? A computer, okay? Anybody else? I thought of a calculator. Anything else? Excel. So is this a fuzzy, kind of like just a feeling word, or is this like a concrete word? Seems concrete, okay? So meditate in Scripture doesn't mean clear your mind of everything and think about nothing. It means to be clear and calculate. Let's go back and look at what are you supposed to calculate on? You see this? What is to be the basis of your calculations when you're thinking about something? Not all the bad things, not all the jerry-rigged stuff, but what's true, what's noble, what's pure, what's just, what's praiseworthy. This is what we spend our life calculating on. This is what Paul is writing. But too often our thinking has been based off of broken thinking. How many of you would recognize that there are times whenever your past experiences become the biggest shaper of what you think about something that's getting ready to happen? Yeah. But I would submit to you that when our calculations are off, our logic cannot work. When we're basing our future on past broken things, when we're trying to make decisions, and guys, often the world calls this what? What does the world say about that kind of thinking? That's, what's that? Well, it could say it's optimistic, but what does the world say whenever, like, you, when you don't base your future thoughts on your past? It's illogical. But I want to point you back to James. Guys, the difference between how James defines in verse probably 14, 15, 16, the wisdom that's of the world. Do you remember the words that get used to define the wisdom of the world? It's sensual. It's self-seeking. It's demonic. But then James says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy. So I just want to like say to you today, because we're going to, as we talk about brokenness, sometimes it's easy to allow my past to become the thing that makes me feel protected in the future. Does that make sense? I'm not going to do that again. And like I say it in a way that's almost allow what's happened before to become the standard for my life. But I'm going to submit to us that God actually has a better plan than just me using fear of repeating my mistakes as my best motivation for the way I follow him. There is no fear in love. But so often I can use fear of my past mistakes to be the thing that motivates me. Does that make sense? I'm speaking from my experience. Go and read that passage in 1 John about there's no fear in love, because everything that involves fear includes torment. Do you know that your good father is not using torment to be the thing that motivates you? That was never his heart. That was never his intention. Now, I'm going to ask you not to raise your hands, but I know because many of you have shared some of your journey with me. Many of us in this room have experienced sexual brokenness at a pretty deep level. Some because you were abused, others because you participated in things that you know, man, that was never God's plan. But what I'm saying to us this morning as we get ready to get into the word this week and read Psalm 51 is we don't want to allow our brokenness, our broken places to be the thing that defines our future with God. How many of you would like to have a vision of raising your kids into a different place than your past brokenness? Right? Like that's just not the place. I don't want to live that way. I want to encourage us to say, we see what God's heart is for sexuality. And we're going to raise up kids and grandkids and we're going to live our lives ourselves in a way that's after his heart, not just after avoiding confusion or destruction, okay? You there? Yeah? Okay. So we talked about this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I thought this was important. At the beginning of 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. At the end of this, it says, and everyone who has this hope in him being Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure. So in this message of what we're talking about, we're not talking about living a life where we do whatever we want and we know that God's grace will cover it. It's saying God's grace has covered it. And because he's by his grace, he's called us his children. We're going to use that as an invitation to walk after Jesus and be pure like he is pure. So I'm not going to allow, listen, I can't follow Jesus if my past mistakes define my future. But if I say, Jesus, I want to follow you and I want to be pure like you're pure. Do you know how much effort Brad McCoy has to try to muster up for me to try to be like Jesus? I just don't have it in me for me to be good enough to be like Jesus. But if his love comes and he transforms me and he fills me with his spirit and he does all the things that he says he'll do, I can set my life and say, Jesus, you're going to be what I live my life after. Now, who's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Are you there? Okay, Holy Spirit, help us here. How many of you know that less broken is still broken? Does that make sense? Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is the will of God, Cody, for your life? What does that mean? What does our sanctification mean? To be set apart for a purpose. Hey, this is what I want. I want you to abound more and more. What does the word abound mean? Grow in it? What is it? Excel? The word abundance in Scripture often has this idea of filled to the top and overflowing. Hey, I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep thriving. I want you to keep excelling more and more. And this is God's will for you, that you're set apart for a purpose. Mike, do you know what your purpose is? You're getting there. Can you come back up? I just want to heal. Yeah, we should just heal this wound. All right. Okay, so listen. If Mike is going to be set apart over to Gabe for the purpose of religion, go to Gabe. For the purpose of religion and God not wanting Mike to have any fun. Now listen, if God redeemed us and that was his purpose, as I don't want you to have any more fun on the earth, it would be his right to do that. That's not his heart, but that would be his right if that was what he wanted. I'm gonna sanctify you to this purpose of you enjoying nothing else on the earth until you die. How many of you know hell is still not a good place to go and heaven's still better than hell? And that would still be a good trade for our sins to be forgiven and just be miserable on earth until we get to heaven. That would still be a good trade. That's just not his heart. So what Mike has been sanctified for, I didn't have Mike standing next to me. What Mike has been set apart for is not the purpose of keeping us from having a good time. Why are you talking about this? We all know this, right? But our views about sexuality a lot of times are like, God just doesn't want us to enjoy everything that we could be enjoying. I mean, we would never say that out loud, but that's what we're really thinking, feeling. Anybody? Yeah. That's not why God set us apart. Gabe and Mike, can you both come? We're gonna stand over here this time. Cody, can you help us with the lyrics to that last song? All is for your glory. Mike, come stand next to me real quick. What's the beginning? There's just one chief end to man's purpose. One main reason for existence. All man's vain and high ambitions will one day be brought low. But if Mike has a purpose in his life that's be set apart for the glory of God, and whether that purpose includes a camera, a big family, living in a faraway place, do you know this man points people to Jesus and a lot of times people don't even recognize it? The chief end of Mike is not to get recognized. This is what Paul said. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is what I want, Mike, in your life. I want you to be set apart for this purpose. Listen. More than what money we can put aside for our kids to spend when we're gone. More than what everybody thinks about us. What if when people saw us, they didn't see us, but they saw Jesus? What if the gospel was proclaimed by our mouths and by the way we live? What if in Doug's business, what if whenever Doug walks into a customer, what if they become so aware that the way that Doug operates is different than the way that other people operate? And what if they see Jesus in the way that Doug does business, but they would never walk into the church that's in their neighborhood? I'm telling you guys, this issue about sexuality has a lot less to do with us and a lot more to do with him. What does it say next? Can someone keep reading that scripture? What does it say? This is the will of God, your sanctification. Guys, hold on for just a second. I don't know if I'll need you yet, but I think that I will. Okay? What's next? Is anybody there? avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. Watch this. This is important. Mike, here's the will of God for you, that you're set apart. And this is one of the ways that you're going to show that you're set apart, by avoiding this over here. Now, what you're going to do when you avoid sexual immorality is you're going to show that you know how to steward your own vessel. It's not that you're going to keep from having fun like the world does. It's you're going to show that you are not driven by just by lust. Why is that important? This world doesn't know how to do that. And guys, I'm not trying to be crass at all. God gave us sexuality. God gave us sex as a way of building connection. If my wife can't tell whether I want to connect with her or just somehow channel my lust, do you see the difference there? If she's just an object of my lust, that is a different thing than being someone I'm walking in connection with. Do you understand that? So in avoiding sexual brokenness, illicit sexuality is not just about following the rules. It's about understanding my life is set aside for a different purpose. The world doesn't understand covenant. The world doesn't understand relationship, but I show faithfulness. I show faithfulness in my life when I say, hey, I only belong to one place. Does that make sense? Mike, we're going to do that again. Okay? Because if Mike can be like, well, you know, today I kind of feel like going over and visiting a different well. Does that show that Mike knows how to steward his own vessel? No. But if we say, God, I surrender everything to you, you can have my life, then a part of being sanctified is being given over here and being set over here for the purpose of putting a message on display. Listen to the rest of this. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion and lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Be seated. And everybody, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I pray right now that we would see this, what you're saying in Scripture. God, I don't care. God, I don't care what you want to do to communicate it. But God, would we really hear your word? Paul is saying, avoid sexuality so you don't look like the Gentiles. Avoid sexuality so you don't look like the rest of the world. There is a purpose. There's a reason why it's good for Jerry and Crystal to be one flesh and that for be an exclusive relationship. It's good for them. It's good for Jerry as a husband. It's good for Crystal as a wife. But it's also good because it can put a testimony on display that says, hey, I'm not like the rest of the world. Does that make sense? Does that register? God sent his son to die for us to give us peace. How many of you remember what that word peace means? What does the word shalom mean? What's that? That's Emmanuel, but shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, complete, entire. He reconciled us to give us peace. Jesus died to make us whole. Cody, can you come? We're just going to do a song here at the end. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures I'm going to ask you to write down. Psalm 51, who knows the story behind Psalm 51? What's that story? Yeah, David commits adultery. Nathan, the prophet, comes and confronts him. Psalm 51 is the prayer. Included in Psalm 51 is this prayer for restoration. Can I give you some scriptures to write down? We may read more of these later. I know we will, some of them. But this is not a little thing. To most of the churches in the New Testament, he has something to say about sexual purity. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, to a different church. He speaks to them about the importance of walking in sexual purity. Ephesians chapter 5 says, don't even let sexual immorality be named among you. 1 Corinthians 6, we'll come back and talk about this. He says there's actually something different about sexual sin. Sexual sin doesn't require a different level of grace from the cross, but Paul lays out to the Corinthians that when we commit a sexual sin, we're sinning against our body. And so there's a call. There's a call to live above reproach in that area. Romans 13, man, it's Romans 13, 13. We're going to come back and we'll study that again. But again, meditate on these scriptures. It says, I want you to live in the daylight. Isaiah 61. The message of the gospel that he came to those who were broken to restore them. He came to those who were in bondage to set them free, to proclaim freedom. I want to be very clear in what I'm saying right now. Man, if you find yourself in sexual temptation, scripture says avoid, flee youthful lusts. But I can tell you for a long time in my life, I just tried to avoid temptation and thought that meant freedom. And there's a difference between being made whole and being restored and being renewed and just avoiding bad things. Avoid bad things. Avoid, flee sexual immorality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Flee youthful lust, but don't allow brokenness to stay in your heart. Psalm 51 and Isaiah 61. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to a new creation. Can you stand with me? I want us to pray, and I've asked Cody to just lead us in a song. I just confess to you that, I mean, I've shared parts of my testimony. But when that brokenness came at such a young age, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The enemy had a plan. He said, sexual brokenness is your destiny. But God had a different plan. I recognized in my life for a long time, I just tried to earn a lesser level of brokenness. And I want us today to really say, God, I'm not going to settle for something that's a lesser form of brokenness. God, I want to be restored. I want my life to be reconciled in this area. When you read that prayer from David, the adulterer, the murderer, you will hear him say this, God, you desire truth in the inmost parts. Let that be the core. Let that be the core of our prayer. God, let my life be built upon your love. Let my life be built upon your truth. So let's pray. And as we worship, like this isn't an altar call, but this is an opportunity for us to respond. Please, listen, there's no value in listening to me talk. And if we don't get God's word, like my words don't change people. God's word does. And I don't want to settle, and I don't want you to settle for living in a shadow. So let's pray. You pray. I'm going to pray. God, bring us into the light. God, any place where, whether it's because of something someone else did, whether it's because of abuse that we've experienced, God, whether it's because of sinful choices that we've made, but God, any place where we've reconciled our lives to just a lesser form of brokenness, God, we ask today, by your kindness, come and change the way we think, God. By your kindness, lead us to repentance that our lives would be based and would be built upon the purity of your truth, on the purity of your love, that we would have courage to love one another deeply with purity. God, I just pray every place that we've reconciled ourselves to disappointment, where we've used our past failure to be a future motivator. God, would you, by your kindness, lead us away from fear and into truth? God, thank you that you meet us in redemption. Guys, if what he wanted to do was just take all your broken pieces and make a pretty picture of your broken pieces, he could do that. But he said, for everyone who's in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not just a redeemed collection of your broken pieces. He wants you to live with a whole heart. So let's worship. And if you need prayer, you can come talk to me or get some prayer from a friend before you leave, but let's just worship with this. He is worthy for us to build our life on what he intended it for. So God, come and just bring freedom to our hearts in Jesus' name.